So what we have for you next is a treat. It is a homegrown. When I say homegrown, I live in Atlanta, and I was so excited the day I figured out that this company was in Atlanta as well. Keith, tell us a little bit about our guest today.
So for our guest, which everyone can see right here, we have Pedro Goes, CEO of InEvent, as well as Cecilia Labin, who is their sales director. And so my introduction, like I've known about InEvent, then we went to PCMA. And while we were at PCMA, I got to sit down at the desk, right? We were walking around and I like sat down and it was going to be, I think Tess, you brought me over there for like, oh, here, spend a minute here. And I think we ended up being there for like 30 minutes because I thought it was such an amazing tool. It was one of those things that actually stopped me in my tracks, which I think is awesome. So if one of you, Pedro or Cecilia, want to tell us about InEvent, we are talking virtual hybrid, just so everybody knows, tell us about InEvent and how it's different and what you guys are doing different than the other platforms that are out there.
Yeah, you know, the main thing about InEvent is that we have some very good flagship products. They're very different from the industry. The first one that I always talk about is the Live Studio. Today, when you need to produce live content, you know, in real time, usually don't have a cloud solution to do that. You're using a combination, you know, Vimeo and Zoom and also an edit software, like for example, Vimix or OBS. And then you have to put all those different systems together to have a high quality show. So we decided on InEvent that we wanted to be the first company to innovate in this space, on the live streaming space, and come up with a product that puts all these resources together in a single solution. So the Live Studio is a solution that you can actually capture, stream, and you can actually edit all the content online during the event or during the webinar on the InEvent platform. And with this product, we have created some very, you know, cool and amazing experiences. And then we created a lot of different solutions around our ecosystem, such as registration, payment tickets, virtual lobby, which is our lobby where you can meet with everyone. And these products together, they really make a powerful experience for virtual and hybrid events.
Yeah, and Tess, I know you were gonna chime in, but I do have one thing that I think everyone should know is one of the things that impressed me the most when I was watching it is with a lot of platforms out there, you're gonna need production, all of that. It was one of those things that seemed intuitive enough for someone who at least has technical knowledge, right? You know, someone just walking off the street can't do it. But somebody who's been in Zoom or has been in other products can use this and to its full effect.
Yeah. And I think this is the purpose of what we were trying to build. We want to ensure that every single event organizer out there can produce a high quality event that they have full control over. Because if you put that, you know, production in the hands of, you know, an external agency or with someone else, event organizers sometimes feel that they don't have that control. They have to rely on someone else. Whilst with our product, you know, with training from InEvent, which we provide as part of our service, you know, people can really, they can control all the content and the quality of that themselves. And that's what we want to ensure that everyone can do.
So we've talked about good quality video, you know, really, what does that mean? How do you define that in this day and age? We know what television is. We've been looking at television for so long, but when we're talking about good quality experience with event, for event video, for events, what does that mean? And how does that enhance the virtual as well as hybrid event experience for attendees?
Yeah, that's a very good question. You know, I can show you, like I have, for example, my computer here, like three different cameras. I have a built-in MacBook camera, I have an external.
Wait, Pedro, did you just mean and say that I asked a question, you're gonna let us experience it at the same time and not just talk?
Yeah, I can show you something here, like how we set up the systems. You know, like I think it's easy enough for a person to do it and it costs less than $1,000, which I think, you know, because if we go to a production agency, you know, to outsource all the work, a good event is going to cost you $50,000 to $100,000, you know, today. So if you can have a good setup for these calls and then you use the production agency for creativity and design and planning, I think that's a great combo that you can actually scale virtual events for a new level. So that's really cool. Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's see it.
We can have, let me put, that's my web camera. You see, the reality is very, very different, you know, not that great. And the way that we have set it up here, it's something like this. So let me show you that. So there is, I have a camera, you know, it can be any brand. Like we use Canons, we also use Sony's, and we also use Panasonic's, you know, they're really good brands for your products. And what we have done is that we get a camera like this. You know, you can buy any model. This camera costs around $600, I think. That's gonna be the price for a camera like this. All right. And it's just a standard camera that you have. And we have put it on the tripod here. So we have a tripod. So we put those together, all right? And once you have the tripod ready, the first thing that we did is that we have this battery pack here. Mm-hmm. That runs for 24 hours. So that's not a different, that's not the battery that you usually get with the camera. It's a different battery. It has a hole here on the platform, you see? Mm-hmm. And basically what you can do is that you can plug a power adapter. And this can run 24/7, you know? So you don't actually need to charge this. So that's a big benefit because sometimes you are on calls or events for like 8 hours, 9 hours. You don't have the time to pause the camera, go there, change it, you know, right, and then go to, you know, restart the content. Like the speakers.
Yeah, you're missing the content at that point.
So we put this battery here, right? And we lock it. All right, cool. And then there is a hole here. You see, we open this door, right? So mm-hmm. we can plug the power adapter into the camera. So let's do that. All right, so that's plugged. So now we have unlimited power. So the next thing we're gonna do is just put the tripod here. So that can sit on my table here on the system. All right, so that looks good. It looks stable enough. All right, so now what we're gonna do is we need to drive the image from the camera to the computer, right? So for that we have a cable that is called HDMI mini. All right, so here there is this cable. All right, it's a cable which is called HDMI mini, and there is an HDMI on the other side. All right, so it's a cable that you buy for $5 on Amazon or any other stores.
Yeah, and I'll actually chime in right here because I buy a lot of those cables. Get them from Amazon because they're $5 or $10. If you go to your local computer store, they're going to charge you like, they're going to say that it's gold plated. It'll be $50.
Yeah, and just by the good, like if you have a cable that's like $3 and another cable that's like $5, like buy the good stuff and then like buy the one that's rated 4.8, you know, that makes a really big difference on those cables. So I select a good brand here. You know, there are many, but you know, that's Ugreen, the brand. So it's a good brand on Amazon. And then there's going to be a port here on the right side of the camera, right? So you have two ports, all right? One port is going to be for HDMI. So you see that there is an HDMI label here, right? And then the other one is for USB charging. So what we're gonna do is that we are gonna plug the cable here on this port, all right? Let me see if I'm plugging this correctly. All right, so that's plugged now. All right, so this camera is set up correctly. So now the big question is, I have a camera with power and everything. How do I plug this HDMI cable on my computer, right? There is no, like you cannot just plug on the HDMI port because it doesn't work. Your computer, if you have an HDMI port, is for streaming to the TV, not to capture from a camera, right? So now we have this adapter, which is called a converter from HDMI. It's from a brand called Camlink, but there are many others, all right?
Yeah, so and I'll actually chime in right here and say, that's actually the brand that I have.
That's the one I have too.
Yeah. But, go ahead, Cecilia, were you gonna say something?
No, I just said me three, you know, we've all got it, right?
Yeah, and if you're doing production stuff, that's the one you want, However, if you just want to do it for your Zoom meetings and things like that, I have tested a few of the ones that cost $15 or $20 on Amazon, and they're called capture cards. And they work pretty well. But if you're doing production, go with the Camlink. It is definitely the better, one of the best out there.
Yeah,
because this one is actually expensive. It's like $130.
Yeah.
You know, so it's that's more on the premium side. It's actually an expensive product, I would say, from your all your production, because the cable is gonna be $8. The tripod is like $10. The charger, you know, that we plugged, it's $20. So this is actually on the second most expensive thing other than the camera, because it's gonna run you $130, this capture card.
Yeah. And don't worry about it. We're actually gonna post a link, so you'll have some links to some items. So,
and there are many, but you can choose any of those. So basically what we do is that there is an HDMI port here, and then there is USB 3 on the other side, right? So what we're gonna do is just plug it in. All right, so just plug it there. And I'm just gonna plug on my computer right now, right? So just standard USB port, I'm just gonna plug on my computer, right? So now what I can do—
And for us Mac people who don't have USB on our computer, we have USB-C. We'd have to have a docking station to actually convert that over. So you plug that into the back of the docking station, then into your actual laptop.
Okay. Or you can buy an adapter that's already USB-C, right? I selected one that's USB 3. Let me unplug that. So I selected one that's USB 3 because I use on other computers, right? Mm-hmm. But if you want to use with a USB-C, which is the round one that's a little bit smaller, you can already do that.
You can go direct.
Yes. One thing that's important just to mention is, and that's a big important thing. So these cameras are they transfer a lot of data. That's why the quality is so high, right? So it must be USB 3. So the USB 3 is gonna see the blue thing here, all right? If you have the black one, it's USB 2. And the speed of the camera transfer between the audio, the camera and your computer, may not be high enough to transfer all this high quality video. So make sure that you're using USB-C or USB 3, which is the blue one, so you have this high speed already on the platform.
Well, and that's a really good point, because I think that one thing, you know, for anyone who wants to do these types of things, computers matter, right? And so you want a computer, you know, if you have an older computer that doesn't have USB 3, it's probably time for you to upgrade anyway, but this you're definitely going to want to upgrade.
Exactly. So if with all of that, I just going to turn on my camera. It's going to be already connected here. And what happens is on my computer, on Zoom or any other platform or the InEvent Live Studio, it's going to pop up as a thing called Camlink 4K, all right? So this is the new camera. You know, it's a big difference, right?
Boom! Prime time!
And the goal is, so you can put this on a, you know, tripod like what I have here, but you can also put that on a larger tripod if you want to move around or just record some content and everything. But the goal is really to make it easy. Like, it's not so expensive, like it's less than $1,000. This used to be running for $10,000. So it's a good setup that it's mobile. Also, you can just pack this very quickly and take anywhere with you. So it's a very cool thing to do these days and deliver very high quality for your next virtual or hybrid events. Yeah.
And I mean, I'll chime in and just say, you know, from a, you know, you can, you know, yes, those, the camera that you're using, but for simple hybrid or virtual meetings where you need to do this, you know, you can actually just even rent a bigger camera. They will plug in the same way. So you can put a tripod at the back of a room, for example, you know, using InEvent or, you know, whatever platform that happens to be, and you can bring that feed directly into whatever platform it is. So you could have a larger camera at the back of a room.
Yeah. And then this setup is perfect for your host for hybrid, right? Your host for hybrid could have this setup, right? And then have the larger camera in the back of the room. And then it's simple. Use simple stuff, not too expensive, too over the top.
Exactly. One thing that I also have, that just give me 1 second, is also very cool.
It's
going to show you his whole house in a second, right?
Actually, but I love this. Yes. This is great though, because this is actually what people need. Yeah, yes, people need to understand that this stuff is pretty simple.
Mm-hmm. So there is also this thing, which is really nice to have. It costs around. So the good ones is called Lavalier Mic, right? So if you're actually going to have, there are multiple brands. So I use this one. There is a receiver, all right? And then there is a microphone that you can actually plug up to 100 meters or, it can be like you can do even a quarter of a mile, I think, with those wireless microphones. So the thing is, I'm very close to the camera. So my audio, it's okay, right? But if you're a little bit far away and you want to capture the audience or in your live event, you actually need to capture good audio, and audio, the key to good audio is to be close to the microphone. All right. Mm-hmm. So no matter if you buy a very expensive system or something, if you're not close to the microphone, it doesn't work. It can be $10,000. You need to be close. That's why if you watch movie or, cinema backstages, you gotta see that they have this thing they put on up on the actors, because it needs to be close to the audio source. That's why they do it,
It's the boom.
Exactly.
Well, and it's funny because and I don't want to get into one of it because I want to start pulling stuff off my shelf here, because I actually have very similar microphones and they're so inexpensive and they're so easy to use that they're awesome. Sorry, here we go down a rabbit hole with me.
No, but I think it's a valid point because, if you think about it from an events organizer's perspective, you put a lot of money into a platform, production, all of these things. If people can't see or hear the person that's then delivering this content, it's all going to be wasted, right? Yes. It's not going to create the experience you want. So to invest this money either in, having your own kit or renting it, for an event, or making sure that you have that for your speakers, is so vital.
Yeah.
And I'm glad to see an increase in people actually, delivering this during events, because at the start of the pandemic, right, it was terrible. Like, the quality was awful and it just made an event feel, disengaged, I would say.
Well, and I think the most important part of video is audio. Right.
Yes.
It's really funny. And Pedro, I don't want to pick on you, but, we were talking about, Wi-Fi and internet connections, mm-hmm. And we're in Zoom, and so there's, even when, the internet would kind of lag a little bit, as long as the audio is still good, people are fine.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
So the tricks are, just be close to the audio source. Plugging this thing is very easy. Like, there is this cable that you get with the box, and it comes with any kit. The good ones are like $200, $300 for a bag like this. So there is this cable here that you plug. You basically plug here on this port. And then you're going to have also on the Canon or any other brand, Sony or Panasonic, the option to plug it there. So you just plug it. Mm-hmm. You're going to turn it on using the power on. And you also power it on with this other side. And that's it. Now, it can be like far away and you have very good audio with this. So I recommend that you have a bunch of these because if the battery is over, you can quickly switch. So we have, for example, two here. So I'm using this one and the battery is over. I can just quickly switch to this one and I can keep the event going as an alternative. So that's very
important. Pedro, about how much is that? About on average?
So this one is $220 and I bought that on Amazon. There are ones that are better. They are like $350 or $400. And the very, very premium ones are like $1,000, $1,200. So, but I rarely recommend those. There are $200 to $300. I think that's a very, very, very good audio. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think, I know that Rode makes they make a one that actually you can get two receivers. So you can have two people, using the audio with one receiver. There's another one, Synco, which is right in that same $200 range. And I've used those and those work really, really well. But yeah, and they work with phones. That's another thing to remember is as long as your phone has a headphone port, it'll work.
Which not many do anymore.
But Tess, you're Apple, you know all about dongles.
I do know about dongles, but I'm a Droid girl on the phone.
That's true. So we have dongles too.
Yeah, we have dongles.
The last thing I want to mention is we actually were on PCMA, you know, first day we had a session that did not go so well, because what happened and we found out on the day was actually that there is so much radio interference that the kit that we were using was a different brand at the time. It actually got mixed up with the main stage, right? So it wasn't the same frequency as we were broadcasting. So our audio, we start basically hearing another woman, you know, like Cecilia was speaking, and then we actually heard someone else on our own channel, you know, because of the radio frequencies and everything. So all we learned since then is we got to have also a hardwire, right? So if things go bad, you also have a backup. So this is an audio that goes directly from the camera directly to the speakers. So you have a very long extension cable. So basically this goes into the camera, and then you have a long cable directly to the speaker. So basically you're connecting with not wireless anymore. You're basically connecting with a cable between the camera and the audio from the speaker. And that solves the problem. If you have are on a busy trade show or, you know, anywhere that there are a lot of radio frequencies, that sort of solves your problem. Yeah.
Yeah. And I actually never thought about that with those, because they are more consumer-y brand that, but that's actually kind of cool. You get someone else's audio.
Yeah. But you know, and I appreciate you sharing, because you know, is one thing that we've learned, hopefully people have adjusted to, is that technology is not ever stable all the time. And we have to admit when things go wrong, and then just how do you fix it, right? Instead of saying, oh, I'm perfect and I produce perfection all the time. So I, you know, I really appreciate you sharing that.
It's the importance of having a backup, right? You know, I think that's another thing the pandemic showed us. People were so used to just doing live events, and then they were like, oh, what do we do now? You know, and the thing is, even if you plan a live event now, you need to be prepared for the speaker not being able to show up as you right. as you had planned. So you need plan B, and you might not even need plan C, right? And, you know, we really do need to get into this mindset. And it comes with the technology, testing, you know, check in, have a backup, everything. So that shows the importance of that as well, you know?
And testing and rehearsing and getting things down, it never fails to amaze me how many groups will go into a virtual or hybrid event and they've never talked to their speakers about what's going to happen. They've never talked to a moderator.
Yeah.
And one of the worst experiences we had one time was the moderator refused to do a rehearsal. And finally the client threw up their hands and I threw up my hands. We're like, okay, we'll go with it. Well, the moderator, you know, all the speakers came to the rehearsal, so they were ready. And it actually made the moderator look bad.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, so
if you're out there and you speak or you're a moderator, you should insist on a rehearsal if somebody doesn't want to have a rehearsal.
And it's actually a thing that we do for our enterprise customers. You know, our account managers will work with our enterprise customers and insist on doing dry runs with them in the platform, so we can be there as a support mechanism as well. So they can really test, try what's going on, because we feel that that's really important. I'm sure you all know, like Adam Parry from Event Tech Live, you know, he was one of the speakers at an event we actually organized ourselves yesterday. And he posted on LinkedIn because we did a dry run ahead of that, because, you know, as you should do. And we have a testing environment within our platform that tests your connection. It tests your microphone, it tests your camera, it tests your Wi-Fi speed, everything. And he even said, I don't see enough of this in the software, in technology that's out there at the moment. Whilst for us, that's a super important thing. You know, it's mandatory within our platform that we have that environment. And it just really showcased that I don't think people are really looking at the preparation and testing things beforehand. And I think we need to become better at that as an industry as a whole, I think.
Yeah.
Well, that brings us to our next question, right, Keith, about live streaming.
Yeah. And, you know, and this is going to, oh, go
ahead. It should help. You know, no, I'm just the flow of it.
And this perfect. Does kind of, it segues nicely, but it is a shift of gears. But with live streaming, you know, how is that affecting, you know, engagement and networking, you know, and those types of things? Because I think that's actually one of the hardest things right now. And it's actually throughout COVID, it's been one of the hardest things that organizations have had to deal with is the networking component. And now that we're actually moving into a hybrid environment, you see so many organizations that are just like, eh, screw it on the virtual because we don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, one thing that we figured out recently, and for us was not obvious, you know, that's what it was, a thing that for us took so much for us to figure out because it was not obvious at all, which is the difference between virtual and hybrid events and webinars. You know, mm-hmm. they appear to be very similar. You know, they appear to be like the same thing. It's just like a smaller thing or with, you know, a different frequency, but it's not, you know, it's completely different. Like it's the people that buy the software for webinars is not the same team that buy for, you know, we call VNH, you know, virtual and hybrid. The people that buy for virtual and hybrid is not the same that buy for webinars. The people that run webinars is actually a different staff, or they have someone usually internal that run the webinars. Yeah. Usually the virtual and hybrid is a big thing, happens once a year, you know, it's very well produced. It takes months of preparation. Webinars, they run every day with a very quick script sometimes, and they don't require over. So the feature list was also so different that we had. So this process for us took so long to figure out that we're actually trying to get our virtual and hybrid event product and, you know, introducing the webinar space, but we realized that nobody bought it. And we were like, why is that not working? Like it's, Elasticsearch is so great for webinars. Why are people not buying it? You know, so we actually had to redesign the pricing model, the feature list, the support, the training. So everything had to be redesigned for webinars mm-hmm. because it's so different, the process of selling this product, that it's something that it took me like at least 2 years to figure out that how to create a successful webinar launch on an event. Yeah.
I think it's key too, and being able to identify that there's a difference between that. You know, there's a whole entire education department that could just run webinars left and right, have nothing to do with full-on event production, which is key as well. So tell me a little bit, I'm gonna jump in here. Keith is probably gonna be like, why did you do this? Getting off script right now. So we talked a little bit, Pedro, about an event's turn and shift to helping produce good quality video. You showed us how to put together a really great kick to get that quality video data going in. So can I put you on the spot to get you to share your screen to just show for a half a second of what that might look like inside an event? And Keith is going to kill me, but it's okay. It's really okay.
I won't kill you today.
Just tomorrow. Please. Because I mean, we set it all up. We got to slam dunk it, don't we? We can't like just leave them salivating like, okay, but then what does that look like?
I mean, and actually while he's pulling it, it did. It stopped me in my tracks. It's really hard to do that. You know, usually at most places I'm walking around and they'll show me something. I'm like, yeah, it's great. Okay.
Yeah, no. And then I was like, no, Keith, but Keith, no, I'm going to need you to
come. Keith, you really need to look at this, right? I remember it very well. And Keith was like, are you sure? And then Keith went like, oh, okay.
And you want to know what the absolute slam dunk was for me when we were there is when you're like, oh, and this is a Chromebook.
Yes, that was like, a slam dunk.
I'm like, you're running this on a Chromebook?
You know what? I actually remember that. It was my Chromebook. And I've got a laptop at home. But when I'm traveling, I take my Chromebook because it's, you know, it's very lightweight. And you're absolutely right. I ran demos for 2 days showing the live studio on my Chromebook. And there was never a hiccup. Never a problem or anything. Yeah.
Which, and now again, I'm not going to recommend anyone do that, but you know, but it, that yeah. goes again to show how well it's made, how well it's yeah. designed, because you know, whenever mm-hmm. I'm going anywhere, I mean, I'm taking, you know, a gaming laptop that has 32 yeah. gigs of RAM and a 4 gigabyte mm-hmm. graphics card, and it weighs 7 pounds, you know, whereas in a pinch, you really could do it on a Chromebook.
Yeah. Obviously, as you said, we wouldn't recommend anyone doing it for an event, for sure. We're here to talk about hardware and importance of sort of quality. But as you said, you know, if you were stuck and, you know, something happened to your laptop or whatever, you know, the program can still do this. So,
yeah, it's one of the, it's not, you know, it's, you know, we talked earlier before about, you know, you have your plan and then you have your backup. Well, you know, exactly. What? If you get all the way down to you need backup number C, you can do it.
Yeah.
Do it on a Chromebook.
Well, I mean, you should. Yeah. And I think that's the most important part is having it.
Absolutely.
Delivering and communicating what it is. Mm-hmm. So Pedro, let us know when you're ready and I can always stop at what I'm saying, because what I was about to say was going to be the truth about how people don't communicate what the B and the C plan is. They only communicate what the A plan is, which is usually the problem.
And another big
they
mistake.
And they don't communicate it even with the attendees.
If something goes wrong and you have to make a switch, you should tell the attendees. Because they know technology is technology and things go wrong, but they're more apt to cut you some slack if you tell them, hey, we've had this problem, we are making it work with this. They'll be like, oh, that's cool, they're making it work.
Yeah.
Right? But so many people try to hide that it ends up blowing up on them.
Yeah.